I'd like to welcome in the Saviour's precious and worthy name to the first of our services, coming to you from Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church. And we trust the Lord will crown this day with His blessing and that we will know the nearness of our God. Could we commit our way to the Lord with a word of prayer before we commence our Bible class study and before we have the reading of the Word? So let's unite in prayer and seek our God. Now let's pray, please. Our Father and our God, we come to Thee in the precious name of Thy dear Son, the only mediator appointed by God. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the access we have. We thank Thee, Lord, that we come to Thee by the Spirit, through the blood, into Thy everlasting and eternal courts. We stand before Thee, the Sovereign One, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we come to Thee as our Father, and we ask Thee for grace and mercy to be bestowed upon us this day. Give us help, O God, we ask. Remember every service that's broadcast, not only from here, but from all our places that know and love Thee, that seek to exalt and make much of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would know the blessing of God, that Thou would take Thy word, let it run the free course, may it prosper in the thing to which Thou hast sent it. We pray, Lord, that this would be, even this morning, a blessing unto Thy dear children, a building up of them in their most holy faith, and even, Father, for those who may listen who know not Jesus Christ. We pray, O Father, it be a word of conviction. I pray that You'll give help, not only in the reading and in the hearing, but in the speaking of truth. Fill me with Thy Spirit, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. And could I ask you please to turn in the Word of God to Psalm chapter 53. Psalm 53, and we'll read the whole of this psalm together before we get into our Bible study this morning. So Psalm 53, commencing at verse 1, reading through to the end of the chapter. Let's hear the Word of the living God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. And in a 2016 edition of National Geographic, the headline read as follows: The World's Newest Major Religion, No Religion. More people than ever before are identifying as atheist, agnostic, or otherwise non-religious. And a lack of religious affiliation has a profound effect on how people think concerning death, how they teach their children, even it impacts how they vote. And there have long been predictions that religion would fade from relevancy as the world modernizes, and all the recent surveys are finding that it's happening at an astonishing rate. Now, we know that Christ will always have His witness upon this earth, and none for whom Christ has died will ever be lost, but He will gather them in. But statistics are showing a growing trend of those who identify themselves as non-religious or none, as it would appear on a consensus or a census form. The religiously unaffiliated, called nones, are growing significantly. They are the second largest religious group in North America and most of Europe. In the United States, nones make up almost a quarter of the population, and in the past decade, they have overtaken Catholics, mainline Protestants, and all followers of non-Christian faiths. France will have a majority secular population soon. So will the Netherlands and New Zealand. The United Kingdom and Australia will soon lose their, and I put in converted commas, Christian majority. In 2016 and 2017, according to some national surveys, 48.5% of people in England and Wales and 72% of people in Scotland, the land of John Knox, say they have no religion. And many of these people identify as atheists. Well, what is atheism? The word atheism comes from a negative, a, which means no, and theos, which means God. Hence, atheism in its most basic terms means no God. In contrast, theism is a belief in God, that He is knowable and that He is involved in this world. Since there is no official atheist organization, nailing down which description of atheism to use can be difficult. Nevertheless, some of the following are some definitions offered by atheists. An atheist is someone who believes there is no God. An atheist exercises no faith in the concept of a God at all. An atheist is someone who is a free thinker, free from religion and its ideas. Now, whichever definition you accept, atheism denies God. Most atheists do not consider themselves to be anti-theists, but merely non-theists. There are practical atheists, and there are theoretical atheists. Practical atheists are those who live their life as if there is no God and they don't reckon with Him in their living. Theoretical atheists are those who attempt by rational argument to justify their assertion that there is no God. But are atheists not religious? Well, they will tell you they are not religious. In fact, they are determined to state that they do not have a belief. The late New Atheist writer Christopher Hitchens put it like this: our belief is not a belief. Others assert that atheism isn't a claim, it's just non-belief in the claim there is a God. So there are these group of people that say they don't have a claim, they don't have a positive belief, they're absent, they have a non-belief. I had a little laugh to myself in studying for this by looking at the American Atheists website. In big bold letters, they claim atheism, I quote, is simply a rejection of the assertion that there are no gods, or that there are gods. Atheism is too often defined incorrectly as a belief system. To be clear, atheism is not a disbelief in gods or a denial of gods. It's a lack of belief in gods. Then down a few paragraphs, we have these words once again in bold letters. Atheism is about what you believe. Now, I know I haven't given you the context, but I'm sure you can spot the contradiction. Atheism is too often defined incorrectly as a belief system. Then they state a few paragraphs down in their opening page of their website, atheism is about what you believe. R.C. Sproul, he said, when man refuses to believe in God, it is not that he believes nothing, but that he will believe in anything. This morning I want to deal with, and we're in this series of Cults Exposed, but I want to deal with the religion of atheism. Now I know that it's not a cult, but it is a religion. I'm going to demonstrate that today, that it is a belief system. It is a system that claims a positive claim. It's not just an absence of non-belief, but it is a religion, and it is a false religion. Now, firstly, the first thing I want to deal with, the problems with the claim that atheism is just non-belief. The problems with the claim that atheism is just non-belief. Try as they might to deny it, atheism is a belief. It is a religion, and it is a false one at that. And I want to deal with the problems of this claim that atheism is just a non-belief in a rational and a logical and a reasonable way. God has given to us reason and logic. And so when men put up their claims, their beliefs, their statements, well, it's for man to logically look at them and reason them to see if these claims can hold to logic and to reason. The Lord himself said even to the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 1, come now and let us what? Let us reason together. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to deal with this claim that atheism is just non-belief. Now the first problem is that the statement atheism is just non-belief in God, it proves too much. Now what do I mean when I say it proves too much? Well, by this definition that it's just non-belief, a potato or a rock, they are also atheists because they too do not possess a belief in a deity of any kind. Now, when this is pointed out to atheists, usually the response is given, but a potato can't believe anything. Well, this implies, therefore, that atheism, rather, is a lack of belief in God by a creature that has the ability to form beliefs. And this implies, therefore, this is a positive claim or a positive belief. It is an acknowledgement that by atheists that the external world is a reality, that all our minds exist, and that the human mind can form beliefs, and that our cognitive faculties are broadly reliable. So they are making a claim. They do have a belief. Excuse me. The second problem is, if atheism is not a claim or a belief of any kind, then it is simply meaningless. It's meaningless. If the atheist wishes to claim that his atheism is true, then it must mean that atheism is a claim. And claims need to be defended. Evidence needs to be provided. Reasons given for why an individual holds to that belief. So if it's a non-belief, well then, they don't need to defend it. They don't need to provide evidence. They don't need to reason it out. And the third problem with the idea that atheism is not a claim or belief, but merely the absence of a belief in God, is that absences possesses no causative power. Let me say that again. Absences possess no causative power. For example, an imaginary hammer has no causative power to damage a wall. The absence of the hammer means the absence of an effect. For something to cause an action, it has to be a positive claim, an actual claim. And it doesn't take a lot of searching to quickly discover that atheism does indeed cause actions. For example, many internet-dwelling atheists, they read skeptical websites. They edit Wikipedia articles. They frequent atheist discussion forums and post anti-religious soundbites on their Twitter. These are all actions caused by their atheism. Likewise, it was his atheism that caused Richard Dawkins to write his best-selling book, The God Delusion. And presumably, it was atheism that led many to buy it. For supposedly a non-belief, a non-thing, just an absence, atheism is busy and active. It is something that has causative power. So it is a reality. It is a positive claim. It is a belief. Fourthly, a hallmark of an actual belief or claim is that it has consequences that flow from holding to or stating it. For example, I'll give you another example to explain. The concept of human rights, which is based on a Judeo-Christian belief system, claim, whatever way you want to put it, is that human beings offer tremendous value because they are made in the image of God. As such, all life from conception to the grave is to be treated with dignity and respect. Reject God, and suddenly you have to start again by explaining why one particular creature, which is supposedly came about by chance, natural selection, cell mutation over several million years, possesses inalienable rights. Whereas blue bottles, mice, and oranges do not. It is consequences that flow out from it. A fifth distinctive feature of a belief is that it attracts other beliefs to it. Once again, for example, Christianity, because of our belief in God and Jesus Christ, Christians have related beliefs that naturally gravitate to those central beliefs, that there is a God and about the work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, such as morality and justice and the inability to make oneself righteous or perfect. And we find the same thing with atheism, the belief of atheism. All our beliefs gravitate to it. It does not stand alone. Most atheists believe in naturalism, the worldview that says that only material things exist. Many also believe in scientism, the view that science can answer any and all the questions about both the natural world and the human condition. And we could list a whole raft and load of isms that are attracted and gravitate towards atheism, pragmatism, materialism, secularism, rationalism. And I'll not give you a definition of all those false faiths, but you see, they all gravitate towards this atheism, no God. And a non-belief or a non-entity or a non-thing does not cause anything to gravitate towards it. Once again, we see that atheism is a belief. It is a faith, it is a religion. The sixth and final powerful piece of evidence that atheism is a belief is its tendency to act as an identity marker. Many people self-describe as atheists in a way that non-believers, and for example, fairies or leprechauns, do not. You know, you never hear someone call themselves an Afarian or a Leprechaunian. But atheists do use their non-belief in God as an identity marker. They proudly write atheist or free thinker in their social media profiles. Furthermore, they display characteristics which identify them as religious. And that brings me to my second point. There's 2 points just today. The first point was the problem with the claim that atheism is a non-belief. And we've looked at that rationally and logically. And we've seen that that is a false claim, that it is a belief. There is a certain entity and claim, a positive claim there, from which all those other things flow out from. But the second point is the characteristics which demonstrate atheism as a religion. The characteristics which demonstrate atheism is a religion. Before I present these characteristics, it would be good for us to establish what is a religion. Now, it should be noted that there is not a universal accepted definition, but again, I'll give you some examples and definitions that I came across. Number one, religion is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observances, and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human rights. Another definition: a specific set of fundamental beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects. Number three, the practice of religious beliefs, the ritual observance of faith. Or number four, something one believes in and follows devotedly. A point or matter of ethics or conscience. Now, according to these definitions, especially the second one that I give, a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons. And number four, something one believes in and follows devotedly, a point or matter of ethics or conscience. We can see that according to those definitions especially, atheism can indeed be considered a religion. Now, a better way to understand religion is as a system or belief, a system of belief, a person's ultimate standard for reality. In other words, their worldview, how they view it all. Atheists themselves have a worldview based upon certain beliefs, such as a belief that the universe, including life, came about by natural processes. This is a belief based upon faith, blind faith, and is nothing more than self-imposed worship, a secular religion. When God created mankind, He designed an awareness of His existence into human nature. This awareness is not the full knowledge or understanding of God. It is simply the built-in knowledge. We might call it instinct, that there is an eternal being, God. The Apostle Paul explained this in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. If you want to turn there, Romans chapter 1, verse 19. It tells us there, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Everyone knows there is a God. Even though they might deny that knowledge, or again, as Paul puts it, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. They hold it back. They suppress this knowledge that God has placed within every man. The people of Athens in Acts 17, 23, they had an altar dedicated to a God they knew existed, yet they did not know, and whom they knew they must worship. It was there within them. That altar dedicated to the unknown God. God designed human beings to worship Him. And when a person does not worship God, he or she will worship anything but God, as I've already said. Man has created God of the stars, the sea, the plants, and the animals. He's turned his ancestors into gods, has worshipped spirits, and has imagined that he himself can become a god. Even the atheist creates a God he can worship. We read Psalm 53, the verse 1, which states, "The fool hath said in his heart, no God." And that's the original Hebrew. "The fool hath said in his heart, no God." The fool does not deny the existence of God. Rather, he rejects the authority of the one true God, replacing God with himself. In other words, he becomes his own God. He says, as one man put it, "No God for me," which means no God but me. That's what the atheist declares. No God for me, which means no God but me. They seek autonomous self-rule, self-governance, self-belief. That is the atheist. The atheist worships. He cannot help it. And he creates an idol of himself to satisfy both the inner knowledge that there is a God and the inner necessity that God has placed within us to worship. The atheist creates a religion of trust in himself. That's what he does. Now, a helpful way to know if a system of thought or worldview is religious is to look at the characteristics, like I said at the start of this second point. And it can be seen that those who claim to be atheists demonstrate these characteristics that are common to most religious systems in the world. And we're going to look at these characteristics and see how atheism and atheists display these characteristics. Firstly, there is narrative. And just about every religion has a narrative that explains the world around them. To use the Christian narrative as an example, we believe in creation, the fall, redemption, and the consummation of all things. The narrative of atheism, used to explain the existence of life and the world around them, is Darwinian evolution and the philosophy that it entails. The whole point of Darwinian evolution is to show that there is no need for a supernatural creator. The narrative of evolution in millions of years is not only an account of the origin of the universe, but also of the end of it, what they term heat death. Eventually all the energy will run out, the universe will cool down, and all life will cease to exist. Thus, atheism has an eschatology. They have a narrative not only of how things began, but of how things will end. Secondly, more characteristics of the religious system of atheism are manifested by the experimental, social, and ritual aspects of that religion. Now, these aspects of atheism can be seen in the fact that atheists show a tendency to gather together in communities centered around their atheism. For example, as I've already mentioned, they visit online atheistic chat rooms and forums. They attend conferences and seminars. They buy books written by atheist gurus like Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett. They even have established atheist churches. Yes, that's right. Atheists have their churches and they do have their preachers. The first event took place in a deconsecrated Union Chapel in London in July 2013. Some 300 people attended the lunch. A typical Sunday assembly consists of a sing-along of pop songs, not hymns, a secular reading, a talk that helps the congregation live better, help often, or wonder more. This particular gathering's creed, followed by a moment of reflection, and then, of course, it wouldn't be a gathering without some tea and some cake. Now, their service, as you noted there, it includes a talk. Well, we could just term that a sermon that helps people or the congregation live better, help more, help often or wonder more. Now, one question that must be asked is, live better than what? Than what? This assumes an objective standard of morality. But atheism does not have that objective standard of morality. Another question, what do atheists wonder more about? If life is meaningless and purposeless. The fact that atheists display these experimental, social, and ritual aspects shows the reality of their religious behavior. Thirdly, they have their doctrine. They have creeds and accuse people who disagree with them of heresy, that they're in error. There's even what is called the Atheist Bible, with 6 chapter divisions, which I quote, offers an atheist view on life, the universe, ethics, the meaning of life and truth. It also discusses the history, the functioning, the tenets, the diversity, the benefits, and the liabilities of major world religions. It's interesting that an entire chapter of those 6 divisions is devoted to Christianity. That's where their attack lies. the one true God and Christ Jesus, His person and His work. They have their doctrine. And they are evangelistic in the promotion of it. For example, a few years ago, the Humanist Society of the UK teamed up with atheist Richard Dawkins for a blasphemous advertising campaign which they put on the side of buses that read, "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." The fact that atheists go out of their way to let other people know what they believe is evidence of their religion. Ultimately, if there is no God, why do atheists spend so much of their time telling people about it? You know, atheists don't spend their time and money to write books and have websites and pay for advertising campaigns that argues against fairies and leprechauns. This is surely the waste of the short time that they have on this earth with their self-defined, meaningless, and purposeless life. If there is no life after death, then Paul reasons in 1 Corinthians 15:32, "Let's eat, drink, for tomorrow we die." But we know there's something more than that. Fourthly, atheism displays an ethical characteristic. As all religions do, they are moral relativists, and make ethical claims. Many leading atheists have argued that Christian parents who raise their children according to their faith, according to the Word of God, are committing child abuse. Atheist Daniel Dennett, he argues that many Christians declare, I quote, "There is the sacred and inviolable right of life. On the other hand, many of the same people declare that once born, the child loses its right not to be indoctrinated or brainwashed or otherwise psychologically abused by those parents." But how can Daniel Dennett, as an atheist, even establish this ethical claim of child abuse when he has no foundation on which to make absolute moral statements? Who is he to declare that that is child abuse? Atheists have no basis on which to question anyone's morality, and yet they do. They have an ethical code. They are relative, yes, I know, and guided by popular opinion. But they have no objective foundation, a moral foundation on which to base their opinions. They reject God's special revelation, the Word of God. Morality for the atheist is just a matter of opinion. But there is an ethical aspect or characteristic that they display, which is common to all religions. Finally, the material aspect of religious nature of atheism can be seen in several ways, but specifically in the atheist's treatment of creation as sacred. In an interview in the Times in April 2019, the founder of the global environmental movement Extinction Rebellion, Gail Bradbrook, a molecular biophysicist, said, and I quote, "I don't believe in God, like there's some person there organizing everything. I think there's something inherently beautiful and sacred about the universe. And I think you can feel that just as well as an atheist. A bit of me thinks, is there a way to have some sort of dialogue with the universe?" End of quote. Do you know what that is? That is the inherent created impulse within that lady which cries, "There is a God, a supreme being, one nobler, one which causes awe, and one who is worthy of worship. There she said it herself, that creation is sacred. And she wants to communicate with it. That teaches us that there it is, even within her, the one who denies that there is a God, there is this knowledge. Though she suppresses it, though she holds it in unrighteousness, God has placed it there within her. Atheist astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, he said this of the stars. I quote, "Our ancestors worshipped the sun. They were far from foolish. It makes good sense to revere the sun and stars because we are their children. The silicone in the rocks, the oxygen in the air, the carbon in our DNA, the iron in our skyscrapers, the silver in our jewelry, we're all made in stars. Billions of years ago, our planet, our society, and we ourselves are stardust." According to Tyson, this quote, it was good, not foolish, that our ancestors worshipped the sun. So there he speaks about this form of worship. Even though God warns us not to worship creation and warns us against the folly of idolatry, adopting this atheistic worldview to him is also, I quote, "a soaring spiritual experience." But as a naturalistic materialist, why does Neil Tyson speak about a spiritual experience? Isn't it just religious people that have spiritual experiences? Yes, it is. And hence, once again, we see that atheism, it is a religion. Atheism is a false religion. It is the worship of self, where they have changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. The characteristics which they demonstrate, which demonstrate that atheism is religion, ultimately exemplify a recognition, whether they accept it or not, of a knowledge of God within the soul of every individual. God's creatures have no right in judging the existence of their Creator. Atheism's attempt to deny God, it just succeeds in reducing man to the level of brute beasts. And when people are told this is all they are, well, then they will act as such. Atheism's failure is guaranteed. It's guaranteed by the fact that God has written His law upon the heart of man, as Romans 2:15 explains. And that one day the unrepentant atheist will meet God as their judge. I hope this study has been helpful to you this morning. The religion of atheism. Don't let anyone tell you that they have just non-belief, an absence of belief. They're not religious. They don't have a faith. They don't make positive claims, because they do. And it's a belief system that, if not repented of and turned from, will ultimately damn their soul. May the Lord have mercy upon such that hold to that false religion and deliver them by His grace. Let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon our study and for the rest of the services as they continue throughout this day. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank the Lord that Thou hast placed within us the knowledge of God. And yet, Lord, without the work of the Spirit, the revelation of divine truth, the Scripture, O God, we would not know Thee. And Lord, there's only one way to know Thee. It's through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We pray today has been helpful to your children. We pray for those who are maybe listening in that are in their hearts declaring and know God. We pray that this would expose their false faith and their false belief. and that you would bring them to your dear Son. Remember the rest of the services throughout the day. Remember the online Sunday school. We pray for your blessing upon it. Remember the morning worship, the Reverend Greer. Fill him with your Spirit. And then this evening too, we ask for your help and grace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name and for our Savior's sake and glory. Amen.